from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning, good morning, hello, good morning. I'm Kyle Madsen, James Hamm, back in the building after attending King's exit interviews yesterday. We will have sound from that throughout the morning. But a happy Tuesday to everybody listening at ESPN 1320 on ESPN 1320 on your radio. Maybe you're on the free Odyssey app. Maybe you're on YouTube or Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Thank you all of you for hanging out with the Insiders. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Kyle.
Yeah, happy to have you back. You were at exit interviews yesterday. I'm pissed off today, by the way.
Okay.
I'm just in a sour mood, and I can't tell you why, but please tell us about the vibes. I'm gonna go on tangents today.
You can't tell me why?
No, I don't. I just kind of woke up wrong side of the bed today.
Oh.
Like the Starbucks lady. I went to Starbucks, Triple Points Day. They got me. I try not to go as often to coffee. But it was Triple Points Day on the app. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take advantage of the triple points. So I pull up, I go through, and I tell the lady at the drive-thru, I'm like, here's what I want. And she goes, okay, great. It'll be this much. And I go, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. And she goes, no, really appreciate it.
Back at you?
Like, no, you don't have to one-up me, lady. Like, no, I said appreciate it. Our transaction is done. This verbal transaction is over. Appreciate it means done.
No, thank
you. Appreciate it. Appreciate you. Whatever. Or like, thanks. She said no. Appreciate. Like, yeah, no, I said that. So anyways, I pull up to the window. I pay for my drink and she goes, you want a straw today? I'm like, yeah, I'd like a straw, please. And she goes, okay, great. Here's your straw. I'll have your drink in a second. And I went, awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Or no, I said, awesome. Thank you so much. And she goes, thank you. What in the world, lady? Like, what? And then, and keep in mind, I understand this is irrational. She's being a nice person. This is how I knew that I was just in a weird, anxious, just sour mood today.
No good.
Because this person is just being kind to another human. I wish more people would do that. But it just hit me in a way that I'm like, look, stop trying to win this transaction. And she hands me my drink. And I said, thank you. I really appreciate it. You have a great day. Or no, she hands me my drink and says, have a great day. I go, great. Have a great one. And she said, thanks. Have a great day. Like, oh my God, I had the last word, Starbucks lady. And it just, like I said, she was being nice. She was being kind. And it is, again, big picture, appreciated. But this morning,
It feels like she's someone who might have had too many pieces of flair on.
No. Definitely not.
I mean, do you understand the reference?
No.
Office Space? Okay.
I watched Office Space when I was very young, too young to get it.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I just, and now they're, I get started last night with the Lakers whining about officiating.
Oh.
If I have to hear that again, we've all seen the stats about their free throw differential over the last 2 years. They're like plus 650 more than any other team. Was the officiating poor down the stretch last night in favor of the Nuggets? Like, yeah, for sure. But let's go back to the other 25 games that the Lakers have won in the opposite situation.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It just, oof.
But I told you, the reason why you don't want to face the Lakers, it's always the same thing. In the final 3 minutes of a game, 4 minutes of a game, like a 57-year-old LeBron James is going to run down the court, run through everybody.
Yes.
And dunk on your head.
Yes. And one.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
There's that dunk he had in transition. That's outrageous. A 39-year-old man.
Outrageous. That pass he threw to Anthony Davis, I think it was in the first quarter.
Yeah.
On the break, where he just snatches the rebound and no look, like half sidearm throws a one-hop dime to Davis. So sick. Anyways.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for me, I don't want to hear the Lakers ever complain about officials. They've won championships on the back of that officiating, so they don't have any room to really shatter.
We're going to talk Kings exit interviews, but now I'm on a tangent. Last thing, I just need to get this off my chest. I've whined about this on the radio before. I'm going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman's sweep is when a team goes up 3-0 and then a team wins a game. The team down 3-0 wins a game.
Okay.
And then the team up 3-1 wins game 5.
Okay.
It is 3 wins, a loss, then a win. That is a gentleman's sweep. It is not just any 5-game series.
Mm. Kyle, this got under your skin.
Bro, gentlemen sweep there. No, they split the first 2 games and then the team won the next 3. That's winning in five. Not, yeah. Because the implication of a gentleman sweep is, hey, we've got you on the brink of a sweep. All right, here's a game, have a game. Okay, now we're going to win the series. That's the implication of the phrase gentleman sweep.
Kyle, you're on one today.
Dude, I can't.
You're on one today.
I had a person who was just genuinely kind to me, and I'm like, oh, what a jerk.
I wanted to just gentleman sweep that person right there.
No, I just wanted to sweep him. The leg and everything. Anyways, I'm done. I've got that off my chest.
I missed you, Kyle.
Yeah, no, you, Kyle. Same here. Exit interviews for the Kings. What was the vibe? Because the vibe in Kingsland is kind of strange right now.
I would say, okay, you know that meme of the like guys carrying the coffin and they're dancing? that's what it felt like. That's what it felt like. You know what I'm saying? You know the meme I'm talking about, right?
I know exactly.
Well, they're fully in sync and they're like getting down.
Yes.
It was very much like it's almost like they all were sitting in the locker room together, which I don't think, maybe that was the case, maybe it wasn't. But I feel like they were all in the locker room together having a good cry. Knowing that this might be the last time that they ever get to play with Malik Monk again. And then one after another, everyone came out and talked so glowingly about Malik and about the disappointment of the season, but really just how much they love and enjoy Malik Monk, how he's one of their best leaders, how he's such a huge voice, how every single player on the team feels like Malik Monk is their best friend. And that's one of those moments where you're like, okay, like this is tough. I don't know how you get through this, because if that's how everyone is feeling and they're, you know, like the opportunity to retain him is whatever percentage that we'll put on it later, and that will be the number that is for sure. No, like they feel it. All of them feel it. Like this was a missed opportunity that Malik Monk said it. Like if he felt like if he was there, they would still be playing.
I kind of agree.
I kind of agree as well. And just a really, really tough sort of way that they all processed like what was happening. And I thought Malik himself was like, you could tell he was fighting emotion the whole time.
Like, certainly.
He didn't know how to like deal with this either. He's a player who's never felt like this type of attachment and this type of like being wanted by mm-hmm. not just a team, but also a fan base like this before. He's never felt that. And, you know, he goes through his 4 years and with the Hornets and it just went horribly wrong. Mm-hmm. And like he was almost out of the league. He knew it. And then he gets an opportunity with the Lakers. And yeah, he's a little brother to LeBron and those guys and he has a good season. But again, you know, it was always with the understanding they could never afford him because he was on a league minimum deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the next year, or maybe he was on a like a five.
He was on
million,
a,
you know?
A cheap deal.
Yeah, cheap deal. And then he gets to the Kings, and it's just, I think that that's something that people need to understand, that it's more than just wins and losses with Mike Brown. It is the culture that he's mm-hmm. created here, where you have literally Trey Lyles saying he's never felt like ever in his life that had a home in the NBA, and all of a sudden this mm-hmm. is home. And I think so many guys feel that, but then you're also stuck with this sort of dynamic that is the reality of the NBA, that one team can pay you X amount of dollars and multiple teams can pay you whatever the heck they want up to a certain dollar amount. And it's just a tough situation for the Kings, and I don't know how it's all going to work out. But at the end of the day, I felt that was the overarching, like almost a celebration of playing with Malik and what that meant to everybody.
It's strange too, because with Malik specifically, and I think this played into it, is one, I'm guessing he's not the only person in that locker room that thinks that if he was playing, they would still be playing, which feeds into the disappointment of how the season went. Because if they were playing the Thunder right now and they lose in the first round, yeah, we're talking disappointment at the end of the year, but we're not talking about it in the way that we are having the Kings lose in the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
And I think that directly ties into Malik Monk, which is part of why that was such a big storyline to yesterday at King's exit interviews. I know that we'll get into this and whether he stays or percentage chance that he stays. We'll hear from Malik Monk. We'll hear from Domantas Sabonis, what they kind of had to say. But I think an added layer to this and what makes it difficult is they didn't get to go out with him on the court. If he does indeed leave Sacramento, they went out with him in street clothes while they were fighting for their playoff lives down the stretch. And that has to play a role too, knowing that, like, man, there's not only unfinished business with the growth of this team, but the year feels incomplete because you didn't get to complete it with him.
I feel that, and I also feel like there's a little bit of regret and like feeling of self, like blame that the players weren't able to fight through into the playoffs and give themselves an opportunity for Malik to come back. Because I think what you want to do if you're the Kings players and you're trying to convince somebody to stay and to ignore the dollar figures, is that you want to put your best foot forward and you want to show somebody, hey, like, look, this is why you stay here, because mm-hmm. we got a shot
mm-hmm.
and you didn't get that opportunity because you couldn't get past a New Orleans Pelicans team. And you know, again, every single day that you could have got past that day is getting closer to Malik Monk returning.
Yeah.
And so I think there is some like regrets and like,
sure,
some frustration that you weren't able to get through and weren't able to get over the hump, and that you were even in that situation. This team believes they should have been a six seed. And, yeah, you know, and if it wasn't for Monk's injury, they very well could have been a six seed.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. We'll continue talking about this, whether Malik Monk goes, whether he stays. We had some thrilling NBA playoff action last night that we will get into as well. And the more I sit here and think about it, the more I'm a little bit worried about the Kings long term, and we'll talk about that next as well. On ESPN 1320, we are the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Kyle Madsen here, James Hamm there. Talking Sacramento Kings post-mortem. James was out at exit interviews yesterday. Got some sound from Malik Monk coming up. We've got sound from Domantas Sabonis coming up. It's kind of interesting that the Malik Monk aspect of this is such a major is such a major talking point. I know that he's, you know, kind of the heartbeat of the team, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I totally understand it from that standpoint, but I don't want to, this is tough because I understand it and I don't want to downplay Monk's importance. I am on the record on this very program calling him the Kings' most important player. But I also don't know if Malik Monk, specifically just him, is the difference between the Kings taking a step forward next year or not.
Oh, no, I agree with that. Like, that's the problem that you have. It's that if you lose Malik, now you have to replace Malik and get better.
Right.
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 And I think, you know, Malik is super unique in how he plays. And I think that you can go out and try to like search for that play style and someone who might not be as good, mm-hmm. but the style of play, mm-hmm. Like an ambitious drive to the basket, pick and roll player who, you know, like mm-hmm. there are these guys out there that do what he does,
mm-hmm.
just the fit and how he's elevated, not just his game, but like his personality.
Sure.
Is something sure. that I think is going to be very difficult. And it's why I often compare him to like Bobby Jackson, because people mm-hmm. like Bobby Jackson was like a heart and soul guy for the Kings.
Yeah,
like,
no
they
doubt.
Had this
no
incredible
doubt.
Mechanical like greatness. Their starting five was just so great.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bobby Jackson was this extra ingredient that you never had that just like changed things. And like he played outside of the system so well, while being part of the system, and not only that, but brought a joy. And you know, it's why Bobby, everyone's friends with Bobby.
Yeah.
Still to this day, yep. everyone is friends with Bobby Jackson. And to me, I definitely think that it's going to be, if they do lose him, it's going to be super tough to replace him.
Yeah.
But I also think that there are players out there that, given an opportunity, might be able to fit into some of that role. They just don't have it right now.
So my concern is less, and again, I hate this aspect of the conversation because I promise I'm not downplaying what Malik does on the court.
Uh-huh.
I think honestly finding a player to replace his on-court role would not necessarily be super easy. At least not on a cheap contract.
Yeah.
So I don't think it would necessarily be easy. And the other side of this here, the Kings want to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
They're just limited in how much money they can give him. They're constrained by NBA salary cap rules, or spending rules, I should say.
Yeah.
In how much they can get. So this is not a matter of the Kings saying, this is our number and we're not going past it. They have a number that they are league mandated that they can get to. And then it's up to Malik if there's more than that for him on the market, if he wants to take that or stay in Sacramento. So I say all that to say, I would worry more about the cultural impact of Monk mm-hmm. leaving than the on-court impact of Monk leaving. Because I think you can find workarounds, whether it may not be as good of a player, it may mean a bigger role for player X, Y, or Z, but when you hear Malik Monk talk about his role as a leader, and we'll hear from him in a second, and you hear Domantas Sabonis talk about Malik Monk as a leader and what he means to the team. That's the aspect of this that worries me way more than the on-court stuff.
No, I get that. I get that. But I would also tell you that before he walked in the door in Sacramento, that's not who Malik Monk was.
Sure.
Like that there's an environment here that... Mm. So I'll put it this way. In order to play like Malik Monk, you got to have a little bit of crazy in you.
Yeah, definitely.
Like in order to be that guy...
A little bit off.
You got to be a little bit different, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to not care at all.
Correct.
And you've got to be willing to fight with a coach and have him fight back and then to just forget about it and not sulk and just go.
Mm-hmm.
But these are like the crazy scorer guys. They're hiding in the league. And there are some guys who just have never been given like the keys to the car.
Mm-hmm.
I think Malik in Sacramento was given the keys to the car. And while he kind of kicked back on what Mike Brown has meant to him, I would refute what Malik said, because there are other times where Malik has like gone all in on like what Mike Brown has meant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think what Mike did was he empowered Malik in a very unique way to mm-hmm. be himself.
Sure.
And to let that personality out and to be who you are, not just on the court, but off the court as well. And that's where Malik settles in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a couple of friends on the team already. And then all of a sudden finds really like his soul as a basketball player. I think that's possible, that you can go out and find that. But I'd also warn, like, again, I've talked about this, that Jeff Petrie searched for years for another Bobby Jackson and never found it, yeah. ever. Like, yeah. Yeah, Quincy Doobie, like Kevin Martin, like Francisco Garcia. He just kept searching and searching for this style of player, even Rashawn McCants. And you never found it because that's not, those guys are unique. And not only that, but you have to put them in the right situation to succeed. And so, yeah, it's gonna be a really interesting summer.
Here's what Malik Monk said yesterday at King's Exit interviews about his role as a leader that he's taking on in Sacramento.
Everything is everything, man, because they didn't have to accept me when I got here. Besides Fox. but no, yeah, man, they didn't have to accept me how they did. It was great. They all welcomed me. And like I say, they all listen to me now. Since the last 2 years, I think I stepped up as a leader for the team because Fox not that vocal. Domas not that vocal by telling people what to do or trying to better people. He just shows, he goes out there and dominate, and I think that's the way he leads. So everybody got a different way of leading, man, and I think they just accepted me to be the leader of this team in different aspects.
I mean, that goes to exactly what you were just saying, how the Kings kind of gave him the runway to be that player and to become that leader. And I think he makes the point that I keep coming back to here is De'Aaron Fox is not going to be that vocal leader necessarily. Domantas Sabonis, same thing. They're going to go out there, they're going to go about their business, and they're going to lead from the front.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you need that emotional leader, the emotional fulcrum, like Malik Monk has become, who's going to get in a coach's face, who's going to storm off the court angrily when he gets subbed out of a game where the Kings aren't playing well, and you know, trying to set that emotional tone and set that emotional edge. And a different player would need to come in and reestablish himself or establish himself as that player and be given the permission to do so by De'Aaron Fox and by Domantas Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other, because those two guys are the unquestioned leaders of this team. But if some rando just comes in and starts kicking doors down and getting in people's faces and yelling, and Fox and Sabonis don't open their arms to that, it's not going to work. So that's one of the main hurdles if Monk does leave. That's one of the main hurdles to me they have to clear more than the on-court stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so when we talk about Monk too, I mean, we've joked around about this here. When I walk in the locker room or like me and Sean are standing there waiting.
Sean Cunningham, Fox.
Sean Cunningham, yes. Like very often Malik, like, tells us to F off, like,
correct.
Literally,
yes.
Like, but uses the F bomb,
right,
all the time. And it's his way of playing.
Yes.
Right. And to me, that's who he is to his teammates. It's a consistency. It's about being somebody who every day that you walk in the gym, there's somebody that has a joy to them
mm-hmm.
that doesn't stop. And to me, like, people want to compare him to Shumpert or other people, like, I disagree. There's a joy to him that you will miss, like finding that. And again, it's a quiet locker room.
Mm-hmm.
So to have somebody who walks in the door and just bubbles up and just like makes you feel like every day you get to the gym and you might be tired, you look over, there's Malik, you got a smile on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that much of an impact. And so I mean, again, that's why I honestly, it feels like it's going to get somber here, because if he does leave, the players feel that. The players understand what he means. And not only that, but there's nothing they can do to help it mm-hmm. at all. And so it's just one of the randomness of the NBA, CBA.
Mm-hmm.
and what you have to do to try to retain your players and stuff. And, you know, again, like the Kings can do everything in their power to try to keep him, but they're so limited in what they can do.
We'll continue talking about this and we'll expand it into what the Kings offseason is going to look like, whether Malik Monk goes, whether Malik Monk stays, what are the chances either of those two things happens, and then the fallout of each. What are the Kings' options if he goes? What are the Kings' options if he stays? We will be discussing all of that on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Talking a lot of Kings offseason. The prevailing discussion point at Kings exit interviews yesterday, which was attended by our very own James Hamm, the prevailing discussion was about Malik Monk, whether he stays, whether he goes. What is the... We'll start here. We'll hear from Domantas Sabonis on this as well, but what percentage chance do you give of Monk staying slash going? So 50-50, 60-40, that kind of deal.
Yeah, okay, so...
And how has it evolved, if any, over the year?
Again, well, I mean, I think early in the year, I would say it was like probably 90-10 that he was staying. You know, just the way he's played this season. Like, if you look at his stats from last year, he was really good, but he wasn't great. I think people get a little conflated with who he was last season.
He was great by the standard he had set through his first few seasons.
Yeah, but even that, I would say, like, he wasn't that much different than he was the year before. And actually, he averaged less points per game. So last year, he finished at 13.5 points per game. The year before, he finished at 13.8 with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. The difference, though, was that he was cast into a different role, and he was allowed to create. And so his assist numbers went up. His shooting percentages were down last season, and so were his three-point shooting percentages over the previous year. Mm-hmm. And even this year, you can say the same thing. Like, as his minutes have gone up and his shooting opportunities have gone up, his field goal percentage has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think any of that matters. I think,
nope.
No. Basically, what we're talking about is a player who brings something different, like a different flavor to the conversation. So I would have put it at like 90 to 10 because I don't know that there was a team out there that looked at him and said, hey, we're going to give him starting level pay and we're going to jump well above the 17.4 million.
Right.
Yeah. So this hasn't changed. The Kings can only offer 17.4 million.
Right.
That's it. That's all they can offer as a starting right. salary. And the deal has to be for at least 2 years. And so you can't give him a one-year deal, get his Larry Bird rights, and give him this massive contract, right? So there are all of these layers built into it. But I think what Malik did this season was not only prove that he's one of the most dynamic pick-and-roll players in the NBA, mm-hmm. and again, just this like juggernaut of a offensive weapon, but on top of that, I think he proved to some people around the league that he might be a starting point guard.
Sure.
And that's where I think the Kings lose out, because even yesterday Malik said, yeah, everyone knows I want to start.
I think I facilitate while I'm being a six man, but yeah, I definitely want to start. I think I've been saying that I wanted to start, but if it's not fit for the team for me to start, I'll come off the bench and be the best. So I just take my role and run with it.
Man, how big of an impact do you think that has on his decision, though?
I don't know. Like
if let's say there's a number that he's being offered that he says that how do I word this? Let's say some team is going to offer him 18, which is a tick more than mm-hmm. he's getting from the Kings, and he's like, at 18, I think I'm just going to stay in Sac, and they go, well, we're going to give you a chance to start.
Okay, so I think he probably takes that. But it depends on where it's at.
Okay, that's
like,
fair.
So, yeah. So right,
Charlotte
so,
versus
well,
Orlando
if
or whatever.
Philadelphia, who now has a ton of cap space, they have only Maxey on a $6 million cap hold, and Embiid under contract for next season. That's it. So they have
two players under
two
contract.
Players. So they have this massive amount of money to offer. Right.
Oh boy.
But then it becomes like, well, what exactly are you offering Malik? And like, I don't want to, like, how much is he worth? Is he worth like what you thought Dennis Schroeder was before?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that's the type of player that you look at and you go, okay, is he going to be better than that as a starter? And maybe mm-hmm. he is, but I still think that like Malik Monk's natural role should be as a six man. I know he wants to start, and look, in Sacramento, maybe you can offer him the starting job. Maybe you just say, like, look, we'll offer you the starting job. You can start, but you're going to play like the first 4 minutes, and then we're going to pull you, and we're going to go to somebody else, and then we're expecting you to open the second quarter like crazy and be that same
rotation.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's nothing that says that the Kings can't start him in next season and just rework, but that would be almost like detrimental to the team. Like, do you want to be here and win, or do you want to be here and have some ridiculous title that says you start and that's all that matters? Because mm-hmm. again, you can make an all-star team as a six man.
No doubt.
Yeah, you can make all NBA. You can, like, if you're that good, then that's fine. But mm-hmm. again, we're talking about a guy who, in a system that had plenty of opportunity to score, in a system where two players decided to not score at all this season of your top five in mm-hmm. Herter and Harrison Barnes, who averaged a combined like 22 points per game.
Yeah.
There was even more potential for Monk to score here and to be part of that. And I think that Monk fit into a perfect role. He's great, again, in the pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best pick and roll players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And like, his ability to set guys up, his ability to score, Like, it does matter, and it does, you know, change the dynamic of this team greatly.
Yeah.
So
I'm.
So I think back to your original question, I'm going to say as of today, 35% chance he stays.
35.
That's where I'm kind of at. 35, 65. And it might even be a little bit lower than that.
The way, so Jesse and I differed on this yesterday, but the way De'Aaron Fox talked about it after Friday's game and the way Malik has kind of talked about it and Sabonis talked about it, it all feels like he has said, if there's a bag out there, I'm going to get it. And the prevailing thought is there's going to be multiple bags out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think that's part of why yesterday felt like what you said it felt like.
Oh, yeah.
Like kind of a funeral, but also,
a fun, happy funeral.
Yeah. Good vibes, but also the end of something. Here's what Malik Monk said about his emotions going into his free agency.
Yeah, emotions are everywhere, man. Like you said, I came here with one of my best friends, turned the organization around, turned the city around. The city loves me, and I said before, I love the city. So, yeah, man, the emotions just everywhere right now. And that's something I got to deal with being an NBA player, so I'll be all right.
And then this is the one that to me, you could read either way.
Yeah.
That could sound like, yeah, I've done this, goodbye. But it also is like, I love the city loves me, I'm going to be here. But here's what he said about his approach to free agency, and this is why I started to fall where you are, in the like 35% range that he stays.
That's my agent job. I'm going to just take a little time to relax and decompress and not think about it right now. I know my agent is working hard and probably got some options, so that's another reason why I can relax.
Man. My agent's working hard. I've probably got some options, and that's why I can relax.
Yeah.
That to me sounds like there's money out there for him.
Oh, no, I think that there's going to be a lot of money, but it really does come down to, is someone going to offer him 30? Because if someone offers him 30, good for you, man. Like, just go.
I would drag him for staying. He got offered 30 and stay.
No, I would too. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, look, so, and I want to like you have to paint a certain picture here, right? Like, the way that the Kings are built is very specifically, you have a gigantic contract in Domantas Sabonis, you have a gigantic contract in De'Aaron Fox, and then Fox is going to have a moment here where his contract goes crazy. Like, long before Domantas Sabonis. Domantas Sabonis will play out his entire contract. What has he got? Another 5 years at this point? Like, they bumped his salary up. They gave him the full extension. Whatever it is. Like, he's going to be here for forever. And Fox probably will be as well. But Fox is going to have the ability to opt out and get a massive extension. That extension is going to look very similar to what Jaylen Brown got.
Yes.
Which there's going to come a point where he's making close to $70 million a year. So
it's so nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. So basically, though, what we're saying here is that you have these two, and then on top of that, you have Keegan Murray. We don't know what Keegan Murray is going to, what he's going to become next season, because then next summer, not this coming summer, but the following summer, that's when you negotiate.
Summer of 25.
Yeah, you negotiate the rookie scale extension for Keegan Murray. So he'll play out his fourth season, so the 26-27 season, under his rookie scale deal. But the year after that is when it kicks in, that he's going to be making, I don't know, you could go to what De'Aaron Fox made in his first year of a rookie scale, which was $27
million. Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe Keegan doesn't reach that. Maybe Keegan, sort of levels out and he's a $20 million player and you're like, okay, we'll give you a five-year $100 million deal, whatever it might be.
That wouldn't be great, by the way.
If that's who he is? Yeah.
That'd be tough. If he's a $20 million a year player in 3 years?
Yeah. That probably would be a little bit of a tough pill, right?
But anyways, not your point. Go on.
No, my point is, though, that you're going to have Sabonis who goes up to like $46 million and $48 million. Then you got Fox who's going to be at like $55 million. And that's a ton of money. And then you're going to have Keegan, who's going to be owed as well. So the only way that they can give Monk more than what they can offer him today is they can offer him the $17.4 million with an 8% raise, which is, like, I don't know, 18.6 or whatever. So a two-year, like, $36 million deal. And then after that, they can extend him. They can offer him a four-year $78.4 million deal, whatever it is, but with a second-year opt-out. The way the early bird works is you can only do a minimum of 2 years. You can't do a one and done. You can't do a one-year deal as a, you can with other contracts, but the early bird, very specifically, it's to avoid someone just getting the their Larry Bird rights in a different way.
Yeah.
So then once you got to year four of Monk in Sacramento, you can give him a massive extension. You can even negotiate that the following summer. Like, hey, you can go into a deal and crack it open and basically give him the money on the backside, but you can't do anything today other than the 2 year, like 36 or 4 year,
right?
$78.4 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a perfect world,
so you Kings are handcuffed a little bit.
No, they're totally handcuffed. And it's realistically because, number one, they shaved that $1.6 million off, which we talked about. But on top of that, it's because they didn't give him a three-year deal, or he didn't take a three-year deal. So that's where this really came down to. If when they gave him the mid-level exception, that could have been for up to 4 years, but they gave him a two-year deal. They didn't even get a third-year option. If they would have done a third-year option, then they could have worked with him on the back end of the deal to make a whole lot more money. And that's sort of, it's a mistake, but at the same time, we're talking about a guy who had really, like, fumbled around for 4 years and not really done anything, and then he plays well with the Lakers, but again, like, he played well with LeBron and like a really star-studded cast, and you wouldn't you didn't know who he would be with you.
I was pretty out on the Monk signing when the Kings made it, just in terms of being an impact player. It's like, okay, great, you got a bench guy.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought, okay, we've seen guys come into Sacramento who average 13.8 points for another team, and they get to Sacramento and they average 7.
Right.
So
yeah, like, it was more a question of, what is this guy as a player? He's not really done anything. I didn't buy into the, get him with De'Aaron Fox and he's going to be really good again. And then sure enough, look at that. Well,
he hadn't refined who he was in the league at that point. Now, I think that's the deal. Like, the Kings have helped him refine who he is. Mm-hmm. And now he's going out into the real world and he's going to get all kind of money thrown at him. I'd also add in, like, there's going to be the tax situation, which is something that I've always felt like the NBA should deal with.
The, like, income tax or luxury tax?
No, the income tax situation.
Like, okay.
So if he gets offered, you know, like, again, an $18 million contract, basically, like 17.4 or whatever, but like $18 million bucks in Sacramento, and the Orlando Magic offer him the same $18 million, there's no personal income tax, state income tax. So you're still paying federal, and he's going to max out on federal, whatever, 26 or 28%, whatever. It might be 30%. I'm not sure what his tax bracket would be.
Tax talk on ESPN 1320.
Exactly. But in the state of California, there's also a personal 9-point-something percent, like, state income tax.
Right.
Well, that's, like, basically 10%. So if you're making, you know, $18 million in California minus federal and state tax, you're really making, like, $9 or $10 million. If you're making that in Orlando, now we're talking about 12 or 13 million.
Right, because there's no state income tax in Orlando.
Yeah, exactly. And so that would change in Florida. That would change sort of a dynamic as well, where he's able to get a whole lot more money. And then if Orlando goes up and goes up to 25, or they go up to 27, now you're looking at, like, okay, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, more than just the couple of million it might look like in the reported numbers. Let's put a pin in this Malik Monk situation for a bit. We'll continue diving in and cracking open what it means for the Kings. It's something we'll do kind of throughout the offseason here. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Want to remind you that we are giving away $500 all week.
Woo!
The Nothing But Net $500 giveaway. In the 11 a.m. hour, we will be giving you a keyword that you will enter at ESPN1320.com, and you will be entered for a chance to win $500. And D'Lo and KC, because they're super nice guys, a little bit later on in the day, are going to give you a different keyword and give you another chance to enter to win 500 smackaroos. So we'll be doing that in the 11 o'clock hour, your chance to win $500 as part of the Nothing But Net giveaway. Did you watch any playoff stuff last night?
Yeah.
Jesse said he wouldn't watch a second of Magic and Cavs.
I didn't.
And so I said, And so I said, to heck with that. I'm getting dialed into Magic Cavs.
Oh, no.
About 14 minutes of game action in, I went, oh, good, the Sixers game is on. Because yuck. 96-86 the final in there in Cleveland. And it's not like, oh, 96-86 real basketball, that's so much fun. There's defense and stuff. Like, no, man. That's just a Magic team that's not quite there yet, and a Cleveland team that is not quite there yet, and they are smashing into each other 4 to 7 times.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's tough because you see the vision with the Cavs. You see they are one of those teams that is capable of beating any team on any night. But man, it's not super pretty to get there. And the same thing with Orlando, but they are a couple of years behind where the Cavs are. And they don't have anybody as good as Donovan Mitchell.
No.
All due respect to Paolo Banchero. But they're just not, like, the offensive flow and the offensive skill that you see throughout the league just isn't quite there in this series. Makes it a little tough watch. That's all.
Yeah. I think there's always this in the first round, though. Like, yeah. As we get to the second round and the third round. And, like, look, if one of these teams, I mean, clearly the Cavs are the team that's what they're up 2-0, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And handily.
Yeah, and if they make it to the second round, that second round might look different. Like, yeah. They might look different against a different team. This might just be, number one, playing to the level of the opponent, but number two, learning process mm-hmm. of a young team trying to get there and going through another young team and not really, like, having the laser focus that you're going to need when you're going up against, like, grown-ass men at the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Magic just kind of turn every game into a rock fight. And the Cavs are just kind of out rock fighting them at the moment, for sure. That Sixers-Knicks game was incredible.
Yeah.
If you missed it, Philly's up 101-96 with 30 seconds left. It's been a pretty back and forth game, really entertaining basketball game. Very back and forth. Philly's up 101-96 with 30 seconds left or 47 seconds left or whatever it was. And the Knicks just cannot get a shot off. They are driving and kicking, and Philly's playing great defense. And then, boom, Jalen Brunson hits a three from the corner, a prayer that bounces off the rim, goes straight up, and goes through. All right. Philly up 2. Knicks steal the inbound. Dante DiVincenzo for 3. Miss. Knicks offensive board. Back out to DiVincenzo. 3 ball. Bucket. Knicks lead 102-101, end up winning 104-101. Insane finish.
Yeah, it was wild.
Do you buy what Joel Embiid said after the game, where he's like, we're the better team, we're going to win this series?
Maybe, but I'm watching, like, one of the great big men of of this generation just dragging his body up and down the court. Yes. Like, even like the game one, man, stop shooting the three ball. Like, you have no legs. You can't even get it to the front of the rim. Like, what are we doing here? Watching him is painful. Watching him go down in a game and, like, holding his knee, and then they're like, hey, look, he's got to know that there's going to be some pain in that knee. It's like, I don't want to know what 57-year-old Joel Embiid looks like. That dude's going to be in a wheelchair.
Yeah, dude.
It is not at all good what's happening there. You're watching a dude's body just give up, and they're out there, and he's dragging his team, still keeping him in the game, still fighting. But man, it's ugly to watch.
I've liked Joel Embiid fine. Like, I've not had anything, but I've never been like, oh yeah, huge. I am gaining so much respect for him in what he's trying to do. And like you said, it may have a long-term impact.
Oh yeah.
It was already going to be tough for him being just as large as he is.
Yeah. And all the injuries that he's had. I mean, back injuries, foot injuries, and now knee injuries, a stack of knee injuries.
Yeah, he's been through a gauntlet. Of injuries.
Yeah.
But the fact that he is trying so hard to will his team to these wins, despite the fact that he, like, can't get in the paint and just can't be as effective as he was early in the season when he looked like he was going to be the MVP again.
Oh, he was winning the MVP.
Yeah.
Like, until he got hurt, there was no question who the MVP of the league was.
Yeah,
man, it's really tough to watch, and you know, you feel for a guy because he's out there trying to do his best for his team, but I don't know that we've seen a player, certainly of that stature, like, come back and look so injured and just keep playing. And everyone around is looking, going, oh man, at what point is this guy going to, you got to take him off the court.
Yeah.
But then the second you do, you get blown out and you put him back on the court and he somehow like wills you right back into it. And you're like,
hell of a player.
Oh yeah. I agree.
So the Cavs up 2-0, the Knicks now up 2-0 in that series. At this point, it feels like the Nuggets are toying with the Lakers. Like they let them get up early in game one and they're like, okay, hang on, let's take this game over and they're going to go win it. And then, oh, game two, hey, let's let them get up like 20 in the second half. And then just methodically, that's what's so incredible to me. I think the list of inevitable things in sports right now is like Patrick Mahomes and then the Nuggets. It's not a 30-0 run. It's not anything insane like that. It's not some random player getting super hot for a stretch. It's just, nope, the Nuggets know how they want to play basketball, and they're just going to methodically do it, and your 20-point lead is going to become 15, and then 10, and then it's going to be single digits, and they might go back and forth at single digits for a bit, but eventually they're going to tie this game. And can you out-execute them down the stretch? And you can't.
Honestly, it is
sick.
It is the Chiefs versus everyone else, because you made this reference before where it's like the Celtics feel like they might be the 49ers, or maybe it was Jesse. Mm-hmm. Like it's very possible that's the way that this thing is going to play out. You're going to get to the finals. It's going to be those two teams, and they're going to do exactly what they want to do. And to me, watching them, like, it's something that we're not going to appreciate for until a couple of years down the road, maybe even a decade down the road, just how good this team was and how impactful they were. But I do feel like it's almost watching Anthony Davis on the final play where he tried to stop Jamal Murray from the fadeaway, and then he loses his balance and falls and lands on their bench. It was so much Homer Simpson hiding into the hedge.
Oh.
Just like,
oof. Yeah, just disappears in a massive body.
You just faded. I just saw that. You just faded. That's who you've been, and this is who they are, and good luck with that.
That's the thing is, Anthony Davis was good yesterday.
He was great yesterday.
He was incredible.
But.
And it just doesn't matter. That's the thing. Jamal Murray was 9-for-24. Jamal, not great.
Yeah.
His game winning, he was a -2 last night. His buzzer beater were his 19th and 20th points.
Oh.
He averages 21 for this season. He averaged 20 last season. He goes 20 points, 3 boards, 5 assists. Nothing spectacular, but just really good down the stretch.
He's just a big game hooper.
Just methodical down the stretch.
Yes.
And you get Michael Porter Jr. knocking down a big shot, and you get contributions from Christian Brown. And Kentavious Caldwell. And it's just like, man, what do you...
They scored 12 points off their bench. And you know, the Lakers answered was 6.
Yeah.
Wow, talk about just like you're starting 5 and that's it. Like, this is who we are. We're just going at it.
Yeah, man.
Wild.
They just don't... And you got Darvin Ham in press conferences after game one going, oh, I have adjustments. I just didn't want to make them yet. You know they get 7 of these?
You already lost your queen.
Yeah.
You lost 2 of your knights, your bishop, and you got 1 rook left.
Like, what?
What exactly are you waiting for?
I have no idea.
I've got the master plan.
And then before last game going, don't know what the hell to do with Jokic. Yeah, I don't know how to defend the guy.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Good to know.
Wild.
And they didn't down the stretch last night. Incredible, incredible game in Denver. 101-99 the final. The Lakers have now lost 10 consecutive games to the Nuggets.
Mm.
Man. Tough.
That one feels like it's over, Kyle.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Jamal Murray 9-for-24 in both of the first two games. That's odd.
Yeah.
He had 10 assists in the first one, though.
But he's just a big moment hooper.
No, totally. And he didn't even play well. And they still won it. I mean, yeah, no, that series is cooked.
Well, because he's got Jokic on his team. Like,
I know. Jokic is just...
Yeah.
I don't know what to say anymore about him. I'm out of things. He's just... We all know how good he is, and it's just a matter of, okay, is he a top 20, top 15, top 10, top 5 guy ever? Like, that's going to be the conversation moving forward.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone has even considered that yet. They haven't even put him in there because we're reluctant to for some reason. Because he doesn't look like it.
That's
27
it,
points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists last night.
If he was built like Dwight Howard.
Oh, yeah.
But everything is exactly the same, but he's built like Dwight Howard. The conversation would happen.
Oh, yeah.
But we're so used to seeing him lumbering up and down the court and being super winded. But, dude, he doesn't get winded anymore, man.
No.
My man's moving. Good for him. And good for the Nuggets. Love our Nuggets. They are up 2-0 on the Lakers. Let's get back to the Kings. Let's give away $500. Let's continue talking NBA playoffs. We'll have some more Malik Monk stuff for you. Plenty to get into in the second hour here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.